You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
It's pretty weak. Good morning. Let's stand and let's begin to worship today by singing Holy Water. Sing it out, please. Please turn and greet one another this morning. Welcome to worship.
Good morning.
Thank you.
But if you'd like to turn in your bulletins, we will. I want to bring to your attention, first of all, the Education Committee on this little thing over here said we'd like everyone to fill out a short survey about Bible studies our congregation is involved in or would like to be involved in. There are sheets out in the foyer for you that you can fill out. Or if you're techie, you can scan this little guy right here, this QR code, and you can fill out what you need to there to let us know so we can continue on to encourage you in Bible study as we move forward. Also, birthdays. We have Julie and Vig's birthday today. Awesome. And Lucas Vig on the 4th. And Virginia Caulfield and Estelle Joshik on the 5th. And Leo Vasquez on the 6th. So wish happy birthday to all those folks. Also, you'll notice in the foyer, there's a lot of lost and found stuff. So check that out and see if anything belongs to you. And if it doesn't belong to you, or if it does belong to you and you want to leave it there, we will donate it and give it to someplace that could use it. So check out the lost and found. It's on those round tables out in the foyer. Also, council meets next week, not this week. Youth group is planning on seeing the movie I Still Believe. It's with Jeremy Camp's life story, and that is March 18th. And you will need your own money for snacks and tickets. Also, VBS, you can see there's a planning meeting March 15th. I believe that's still, it's going to be after the worship service. That's still on. And the tentative VBS dates are August 3rd through the 6th with the theme Power Lab. Who has you? It's a question. There's a poster in the foyer for more information on the Women's Conference that will be held in Roseau, and that is March 21st. And registration can be found in the foyer as well. Blue Water Sundays, April 26th. And our next quarterly worship meeting is March 28th at 7:30. Our fellowship committee met this morning, and we are planning on doing a pre-summer picnic potluck, March 22nd after church. And there will be no serving groups doing it. We're going to do it old-fashioned style, if that you bring food. Or even if you don't bring food, you get to help serve and clean up. And we're just going to have a good time of just fellowship and just coming together. We're going to try to do more of that this year. And the fellowship committee is up for the challenge. So anything else this morning that I might have forgotten? Ida.
I have to thank you for whoever signed up for the meal delivery.
Awesome. Thank you, Ida. Julie.
Christy just wanted me to mention that the Blue Water brochures are out there, but if you normally register online, don't take one of those because there's a limited amount until we get the rest in the mail.
Okay. So Blue Water brochures are in the foyer. If you register online, please don't take one for now, and there will be more coming later. So, okay, Heather. Oh, awesome. Okay. Okay, so baby bottles are due next Sunday. So get them in, please. Thank you, Heather. Anything else this morning that we might have forgotten? Okay. Prayer and scripture then. I never even looked to see yet who was on there. Julie is. No? You want me to do it? Okay, sounds good. This is March 1st already, isn't that something? Acts 2, 17 through 21. Thank you.
Okay, scripture for today is Acts 2, 17 through 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Prayer request. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you, and we praise you that we can come here to worship together, and that we don't have to worry about coming in the building and leaving, that we are safe. Help us to never forget what we have to be thankful for, Lord, and we pray also for the leaders of our country. God, we just pray that you would give them good advice, that through people that know you and through your word, Lord, we just pray that you would help them in decisions they have to make. We also just pray for the media, God, that they would be truthful and honest so that we could know exactly what's going on. We pray that you would just help the people who are already diagnosed with the coronavirus and those who are in quarantine. God, we just pray that this could soon be over and that everyone would be healthy again. We pray, God, that you would just put your hand upon this situation and help the people who are suffering with this or who have lost loved ones already. Just be with them and help them in this time of grieving also. We pray also for those families who've lost loved ones in the last couple weeks and in the last year, Lord God. It's never easy. And we just pray, God, that you would continue to be with them and guide them and help people to come into their lives that can extend comfort and a good listening ear for them. We lift up hope to you, Lord, and we just pray for the pain that she's having. We pray that that would lessen. We also just pray that if this shoulder surgery is supposed to happen, Lord God, that you would just bring it about in a timely fashion, that you would just help her to have a good doctor and nurses, and that she would just be taken care of. We pray also for her niece with this rash and everything that was going on. Lord, we don't know how things are this week, but we just pray that you would continue to be with her and guide her and heal her. We pray for Josh Wickstrom. We thank you, Lord, that he is not paralyzed, but we just pray for what's ahead with his broken neck. God, we just pray that you would be with him and his family, that you would be with the doctors and all of the staff that will take care of him, Lord, and just give them wisdom. We also lift up Joel and Lorraine Dunn, Lord God, in each of their specific illnesses. Lord, we just pray that you would help them, encourage them, direct them in where to go and what to do. And we just pray that they would be willing to listen to the advice of others. We thank you that Charmin's home, and we just pray, God, that you would just relieve her of this pain and that you would restore her to good health. We pray that you would just surround her with people that are praying for her and encouraging her, and we just pray again for this pain to be lifted. We pray for Claudia and the March 16th coming up with her pain pump. God, we just pray that this would be the solution to what's going on with her and that she would be able to live a better quality of life. We pray also for Michael, God, that this shoulder pain, God, that the doctors would just really see what is going on and be able to take care of it. We pray that you would just be with Michael and Christy and help them also, Lord, in making decisions on where to go and who to listen to. And we just pray, God, that they would also listen to their body, that you give us things that we need to pay attention to, whether it's needing more rest or eating better, whatever it is, Lord Jesus. I know it's not in that case, but help us, Lord Jesus, to be listening to what you have to tell us through our bodies. We praise you and thank you, Lord God, for the super trip that we had as a family last week and the wedding of Justin and Lauren. We pray that you would continue to provide protection for them as they're on their honeymoon. And we pray also that you would just lead and guide each and every one of us, Lord God, in this church. We pray that we would desire more of you. We pray that we would get involved in a study, that we can learn and grow, that we would be attentive to what your word has to say, because you are the truth and the way, Lord. And we pray that we would really understand that. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for all these things. And we also want to lift up the flu and the colds that have been going around the community, Lord God, and we just pray for good health for our children and adults. And we pray that you would bless and guide all of the teachers in the school system and in the homes, and help us, Lord Jesus, to be faithful to teach. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Lord, also that Greg came home on Monday. We just thank you that he is just praising you for the recovery that he has. And we thank you, God, that you are with him. We pray that you would just continue to heal him and reveal yourself to him more and more each day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Julie. We have the praise team come back up and ushers for the offering, and we will take our offering next. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together, God, to worship you, to lift you up, to glorify you. We pray, God, your blessing on this service, and we pray that you'd bless this offering. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sing along. Yes, I will.
To praise, to glorify. at rest. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, we just give you thanks for this day, and we just are so grateful for your son, for his sacrifice for us. And we ask that you're with us today and all this week as we go out in the world, and we ask that we be a light to other people and bring them to Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're going to go into our time of communion. So, as Julie said earlier, we were blessed with being able to be gone to enjoy our son Justin and his new wife Lauren's wedding. And they are in Scotland today, and our podcast is going to be done from Scotland. I sent him a message. I said, I hate to bother you on your honeymoon. But he said, don't worry about it. He said, for sure it'll be done this afternoon. So if anyone's asking, the podcast will be up later today. Well, you can see today we are going to start a series because it says part one, right? Seeing more clearly, when I think of the year 2020, I think of vision, as I said earlier. And today we're going to look at the beginning of who is the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to look at through Scripture, and some are going to be hard things throughout this year. But my desire is that we would see more clearly just who God is, who we are. Faith is, Scripture talks about, is seeing something that, believing in something that we can't see. In John 20:29, Jesus said, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. We are told to live by faith, not by sight, in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Supernatural spiritual eyesight is something that we are given. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says, if we live by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's Galatians 5, 16 through 18. And over the coming months, we're going to look at several areas that we need to have a better vision for. It's been a God thing. I call it a Holy Spirit moment. There's been many of them. But just having Mason Peters come and to share with his gift of speaking and revealing the truth of God's word from his heart. He is such a dear friend, and every time he preaches, I call him and I say, Mason, thank you for opening yourself up to being vulnerable to us, to let us know how much God has done in your life. The truth is that you and I need to see more clearly and understand more fully, and hopefully know what's going on better in our lives and in the lives of those around us. To know what our purpose is in life, just why we were here, why we're here, and what we're supposed to be doing. I visited a young man this week, a young man that I didn't know, but I was told that he wanted to see me. He wanted to talk to me, and I wondered, God, what are you up to? This must be one of those God things. I wondered why he wanted to talk to me, because he didn't even know who I was. And so I went in and I introduced myself, and the first question that he asked me after we sat down together was a question I'd never heard before from someone I didn't know, and he said, can you please tell me what I'm supposed to do? And I sat there, and he said, I just want you to give me some advice to help me understand what my life is supposed to be about. And the first thing that came to my mind is I need to share my story. So I told him about my faith, my walk, my struggles that I've had in my life. Basically sharing my testimony. Opening myself up, becoming vulnerable to a complete stranger. Before I left, I remember the last conversation, the last part of our conversation was was talking about God's gift of time and how it is so precious and how we take it for granted. And when I left, I said, whatever you do, his name was Bailey. I said, Bailey, don't waste it. Don't waste the time that God has given you. We are all given this gift between the time we are born and until we die. And as Christians, we're giving this time also from when we are born again, Scripture says. We have this portion of time between being born again and being in God's very presence when we die. And I thought, you know, that's a lot like that dash mark on the gravestones that lie between the time you were born and the time you die. But instead, I think of the dash mark, the time we are given the gift of when we come to Christ, when we come to salvation, when we are saved, and when we take that last breath on earth. And if you're a Christian here this morning, or if you're listening by podcast, you are in that dash time, you're in that space of what God has for you, and it is a gift to you. But it is so easy, isn't it, to become preoccupied with things in this world. It's so easy for our days to go into weeks, our weeks go into months, months go into years, and life gets busy, and we don't give a lot of thought to what it means to live our faith. Living this Christian life is so much more than just doing life, just putting our time in. It's more than just checklists. It's not like, okay, I got born, check. I got saved, check, got that done. Got baptized, got confirmed. Bought a house, married, had some kids. Got a job, retired, hopefully with a pension. Check, 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 check. So what's missing? And a lot of times that's where I get the blessing of sitting with people who are coming to that end of life, or they get a call and they say you're in stage 4 cancer and you don't have much time to live. And I get that same question that young man asked me, what is life all about? What am I supposed to be doing with the time that I'm given? Even as Christians, we catch ourselves, and I've sat with Christians who are in their last moments, and they'll say, did I actually do anything for Jesus? And that question catches me off guard. But this Christian life is not about living with checklists. It's not about, there's no special prescription for living this life that just says, follow your heart. Because what I know of my heart is deceptive. I don't want to put my trust in me. The Bible says that when God calls you and he saves you, there is a revolution that takes place. A transformation of your heart. He takes out that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. And your character that should take you far beyond your earthly desires for pursuit and your own selfishness, to live a life that allows us to reflect who God is and how we are called to live in worship to him, to be his hands and feet in the world. We still get lost in the busyness of this life. The problem is that I think is that even though we're given this new heart, we often get caught up and we get distracted. And as Mason said last week, we don't let go of things. And worry overtakes us. I've been living a lot in that lately. So today we're going to begin this journey together of what it means to see more clearly. I believe that's what God is calling us to this year. Having a better vision for better than 2020. And I believe it begins with prayer. I believe it begins with examining ourselves, being totally honest, even brutally honest, with ourselves, seeking the wisdom from Scripture, by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. To know the Holy Spirit and to see Him more clearly, and that's where I want to begin. Because it is so easy to become complacent in worship. It's way too easy to just do church, even with good intentions, using the time that we're given without giving it much thought about what is worship all about, what's this Holy Spirit. I think this is one area that we desperately need God's help in. There are so many misconceptions about the identity of the Holy Spirit. Who is He? Some view the Holy Spirit as like a mystical force. It's just something that is kind of there. It's almost like breath. Others understand, I think, the Holy Spirit is something that's maybe impersonal and is only available for those special people that have this closeness with God that we don't have, or that I don't have. But what does the Bible truly say about the identity of the Holy Spirit? That's what I pray that we're going to look at. And I think, simply put, the Bible declares that the Holy Spirit is God. It's God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible also tells us that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. Have you ever thought about the Holy Spirit being a divine person? A being with a mind and emotions and a will. The Holy Spirit is God. I think the lack of pursuing the truth of the Holy Spirit is in this world has gotten the church in trouble many times. You know, when I mean by the church, I mean us, personally. We don't grow spiritually. We find ourselves becoming bored with worship, bored with life. And then we begin to look outside the faith for fulfillment, don't we? We look to be entertained. And that's a dangerous place to be. There's that space, I think, of discontentment where that lies, that it's like Satan's playground. He says, wow, there's another one of those believers that's entering this place of discontent, that special place that I like. So I'm going to mess with him. I'm going to mess with her. And I'm going to get them to believe that really the Holy Spirit really isn't real. There's so much more to living for Jesus than what we are doing right now. I guarantee it. It is like the church believes in God the Father, God the Son, but the Holy Spirit, not so much. Or they're not sure. And according to Scripture, that's just plain crazy. I'd like you to listen to the words of Jesus to his disciples. And us, excuse me, as we look at John 16, 5 through 15, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, now I am going to him who sent me, and yet none of you asks me where you're going. Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. He was talking about all the things earlier. He was talking about the world's going to hate you as my disciples. He's going to talk about laying down their life. He's going to mention to them that apart from him, you can't do anything. And then Jesus says, I'm leaving. They had a reason to be concerned. Then he says, but I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. That is, of course, the Holy Spirit. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Do you hear the importance of the Holy Spirit in your life? The Spirit will speak truth, only truth. He will not speak on his own, but he'll only speak what he hears. He will guide us into all truth, and he will bring glory to Jesus by taking what is Jesus and making it known to you. Now, before the Holy Spirit came into the world, in this new way, after Jesus died and rose again and appeared to the disciples, Jesus was eating with them. And we read that account in Acts 1, 4 and 5. He says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2, we see the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to his disciples. And it must have been a shock, like an incredible, almost like an out-of-body experience for them, because this is something they'd never witnessed in their life. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to do. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are here speaking, Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. It wasn't just one or two languages. It was all their languages. The Holy Spirit crossed all barriers. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? And some, however, believe it or not, made fun of them and said, they've just had too much wine. That was their reason. But then Peter addresses the crowd. He stands up among the 11. And he said, these men aren't drunk. Prophecy has been being fulfilled. And so he spoke what the prophet Joel said. He said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That was an intense moment, a one-of-a-kind moment. But we are told in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is very much at work in our world today, every single day. Sometimes in subtle ways, sometimes in ways that we don't even see because we're not looking, or maybe because it's hidden from us, I don't know. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in ways that are indescribable. Ways that catch us saying, did that just happen? And maybe there's more of those kinds of Holy Spirit moments going on and we just don't see them or recognize them because we've fallen too busy. We've fallen asleep, we've gotten complacent in just filling up this gift of time we're given. Or maybe we just because we're just doing church and we're not fully engaging in worship. Maybe we miss out on these Holy Spirit moments. If we are to grow in our faith, we are to grow together as a body of believers. Scripture is very clear that we are made for community. We are made to worship together. We are also told, I believe, that we are to explore and study this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit that we are given. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit was unleashed like it never had been before. First time ever, the Holy Spirit came and it entered the bodies of the disciples. The epistles tell us that the Holy Spirit's power is still at work in us. And if we read these scriptures, and if we believe them, shouldn't we expect more then from the Holy Spirit? Shouldn't we be more than just doing church? The problem is not the Holy Spirit's inactivity in our lives. We are the problem. It's our problem that we're not acknowledging. It's our problem that we're not looking. It's our problem that we're not seeing clearly all that God has for us. There are Holy Spirit things going on around, things that I call God things. And I'm going to get a little bit personal with you and share some of the Holy Spirit God things just while I was gone and witnessed over the last couple weeks. Not only when we were traveling, but when we were back. One thing I mentioned earlier was my visit with this young man named Bailey. Who I didn't know and who he didn't know me, but requested and asked me that very curious question. Another Holy Spirit moment or a God thing was after our son Justin's wedding. And Julie and Jaden and I were walking in downtown San Diego to Justin's car, who we were picking up. We were walking in the dark and got to a parking lot where the car was, and we got in, and when we looked down, we saw 2 feet sticking out from next to a dumpster underneath a garbage bag, just a few feet from where we were standing. And I don't know about for Jaden or Julie, but for me, my heart sunk to realize there was someone laying right there. And we literally almost stepped on him. And my first thought then was, I could have drove over him without even realizing it. And now I can't get him out of my mind. I think about him every single day. I find myself grieving. I find myself praying for him. I don't even know his name. All I saw was his boots. I don't know who he was. I don't know what he looked like. I don't know his story. But God knows him. God knows his name. God knows his story. And maybe that's a Holy Spirit moment in my life that I'm prompted now to pray for someone I have no idea who he is. And every time I have that urgency, I need to recognize that as a gift from the Holy Spirit. Another Holy Spirit moment that was quite different was My son-in-law Jared and I were checking out of a grocery store in La Jolla, California, just 10 days ago, and a young man who was about maybe 20-something came up to the till where we were at, and he was going to bag our groceries. And after he asked us, do you want paper or plastic? That's a typical question, right? Then he turns to Jared and he says, what's your name? And Jared says, Jared, and he repeats it, Jared. And then he looks over at me and he says, what's your name? And I say, Galen, and he repeats my name and says, Galen. And the lady who was running the till said, this young man's name is Chris. And if you tell him your name, he will never forget it. And the next time you come in the store, he will call you by name. He asks everyone that he checks bags for, that he bags groceries for, what their name is. And he remembers their name. Well, Chris turns out is autistic. But let me tell you, his mind is incredible. I don't have that gift. And the thought of him, if I return to that store and I walk in and he says, hi, Galen, would freak me out. But I will never forget Chris's name, but I've only got one name. The thought of that blew my mind. I thought, this is definitely a Holy Spirit moment, because what it told me was that God is even greater than that. Because in Psalm 139, we are told that he knew us even before we were born, before we were formed, before we were conceived. God knew us and he knew our name. And he never forgets. Just witnessing the mind of this young man, Chris, just gave me a glimpse into just a small portion of the mind of God. We have so much that we could talk about, and we'll talk about it about the Holy Spirit. But God is calling us to a much deeper faith, knowing and living it, being the hands and feet of Jesus in a much more intense way. And yet we struggle with life, and we wrestle with sin. And so many times we don't understand that we have this power that is given to us. It is a gift to us. Romans 8:9 says, us as Christians, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So he's just saying, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you're not controlled by your sin nature anymore, but by the Spirit. So that old thing, saying that we hear so often, just follow your heart, that's a dangerous place to be. We are to live by the Spirit, and we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own, you are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. There is a huge difference in the heart of a non-believer and the heart of a believer. And yet so many times I wonder when I see people and I believe they've accepted Christ, yet I don't see the difference in how they're living. And I'll be honest with you, that concerns me. It concerned James too. James writes this. I'm going to jump ahead. Oh, no, I won't. Am I making you dizzy yet? I never had it up there. James 3:11 says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? He's talking to Christians. James is speaking with frustration about those who called themselves Christians. In James 3:10, he says, praising and cursing, should not come out of the same mouth. Shouldn't happen. There is so much more that we're going to discuss in the coming weeks. But I don't want to leave you there because I want to close with some words of encouragement from Jesus when he says this in John 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place that I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Sounds like the question that young man asked me. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father that he will, and that will be enough. If you just show us the Father, that will be enough. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles himself. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. There he is. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. God has so much for us. And I pray over these next coming weeks that we're going to understand the Holy Spirit and all that God has for us. There's this incredible gift of God actually living inside us. It begins with surrender. It begins with seeking, asking God to show us more clearly what he has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We pray that you'd guide us, that you would lead us, Lord, and we thank you that you have prepared the way. We thank you that you have told us the truth, that you are with the Father, that you are interceding for us, and that you sent us your Holy Spirit to live inside us, to counsel us and to guide us and to lead us. Lord, help us to look to your word. Help us to look to your Holy Spirit and help us to walk in truth. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close by singing our final hymn, hymn number 220. Please stand and join us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Hymn 220. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come together to just being there for us. We pray that you'd help us to see you more clearly, Lord, that you'd help us to live more faithfully, to desire you more fully, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.